VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Thank you for tuning in. And friends, we've got a lot of stories, lots of information to pass your way today. A lot of information you will not get from your major media across this nation. So we thank you for tuning in and being informed to understand the times in which we live, and certainly to be in prayer for our nation as perhaps like never before. It's no time to sit back and hit the snooze button, folks. We're called to be salt. We're called to be light. And let's do just that. So let's buckle your seatbelt and let's get underway here. We're going to begin with the election. And certainly we saw Republican Glenn Youngkin, November 2nd, defeated Democrat Terry McAuliffe in the race for the governorship of Virginia. Republicans did sweep all three competitive elections in Virginia. That includes also the lieutenant governor and attorney general's race. The contest, one of the most closely watched races in off-year elections, was viewed by some as a referendum on the Biden presidency. Youngkin and McAuliffe fought an intense campaign over some of the most heated issues like abortion, critical race theory. Former President Donald Trump was part of that the contention as well between the two. But here's a brief audio clip from Glenn Youngkin in his victory speech.
Together, we will change the trajectory of this Commonwealth. And friends, we are going to start that transformation on day one. There is no time to waste. Our kids can't wait. We work in real people time, not government time.
Glenn Youngkin, as part of his victory speech here, not only did he win the race, but the second highest ranking official in the state also is pro-life. Winsome Sears won the race for lieutenant governor. She is a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. She was saying that she lived the American dream because her family were legal immigrants from Jamaica. And she said, in case you haven't noticed, I am black and I've been black all my life. It's interesting because we were told that this was because of, you know, this race turned out because of white supremacy. Well, she is very black as a candidate and made that known. But she gave glory to God in her victory speech.
We ran an impossible, improbable campaign against God was exactly with us. Otherwise, we would never have made it. And so I want to finish up by thanking you, Jesus. How sweet it is.
And part of her victory speech that was given here after election night. Well, the Human Rights Campaign is vowing to fight against Youngkin's regressive agenda. Here's a statement. Glenn Youngkin's anti-equality, anti-choice, racist tactics sought to sow fear and confusion, turning Virginian against Virginian for political gain. His hateful policies and rhetoric will have a real devastating impact on LGBTQ plus people, women, and people of color across the Commonwealth. Anti-equality extremists will continue to use bigotry to score political points, but we know that history has proven hate-filled electoral strategies ultimately stir the conscience of the nation, and we know it's not the time to give up the fight. The Human Rights Campaign will fight alongside our members and partners to block anti-equality policies and overcome the forces that are trying to drag us backwards. The movement for equality is on the right side of history. We've never backed down from a fight. We don't intend to start now. Progress will prevail and our country will be stronger for it. Also, the report that election this week saw the election of Detroit's first out city council member, the re-election of a trans woman, Andrea Jenkins, in Minneapolis. New Yorkers elected a record 6 city council members that are openly LGBTQ+. The Human Rights Campaign also reports that after the election, right now, there are more than 1,000 LGBTQ plus officials serving in the United States once all of these who have just been elected this week will be sworn in. That is the largest number ever to collectively in the history of the United States. From LifeNews.com, and another pro-life election victory, pro-life Republicans captured not only the Virginia House from pro-abortion Democrats, but not only the governor's mansion, but the House there as well, and are hoping to restore pro-life laws that would overturn what the Democratic Party did when they were in power. Republicans picked up 6 seats in the Virginia House of Delegates. New York Post reporting that Republicans won 4 contested city council races in Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island, had a shot at taking a 5th in a potential upset. From Breitbart, this is a very interesting story indeed. New Jersey State Senate District 3 for Republican truck driver Edward Durr stunned the political word by the world by defeating the state Senate President Steve Sweeney by nearly 4%, approximately 4% of the vote. He won because of a perfect storm. The state that resulted from severe coronavirus restrictions saw the governor and the Democrats interfere with families' basic rights. He ran a bare-bones campaign. We understand costs less than $10,000. One of his recent campaign reports, just $153, walking door-to-door with volunteers after work. Didn't even have a website outside of Facebook. He defeated the longest-serving legislative leader in the history of the state, happening right there in New Jersey. Very interesting indeed. He is calls himself a conservative Christian that has defeated this pro-abortion state senator who is the longest-serving legislative leader in the state's history. Republican Mike Carey, a former Army officer and energy executive endorsed by President Trump, won the special election for Ohio's 15th congressional district on Tuesday night. Western Journal reporting Republican managed to flip a Democratic-held seat in Texas in a district that Joe Biden won in November by 14 points. National Review tells us Minneapolis voters Tuesday rejected a progressive plan to do away with the city's police department and replace it with this vaguely defined Department of Public Safety. Remember how they talked about reimagining the police? The vote failed. About 56% of the voters rejected the proposal to reimagine the police department. Let's look also at FoxNews.com. Former Seattle City Council President Bruce Harrell, who ran on a pro-police message, led the returns in the race for Seattle mayor by nearly 30 points against a progressive. New Jersey GOP gubernatorial candidate, that would be Jack Chartarelli, issued a promise to supporters to keep up the fight in the election, narrowly decided for Governor Phil Murphy, the Democratic incumbent, but all legal votes must be counted, he said. Currently, Governor Murphy and I are separated about 1% after 2.4 million ballots. He said still tens of thousands of votes by mail and provisional ballots yet to be counted and waiting for those votes to all come about. Very interesting story on LifeNews.com of an election worker in New Jersey caught on video. This is an election worker allowing a non-citizen to come in and fill out a ballot, an illegal action that is particularly concerning given the closeness of this governor's race there. The video was posted late Wednesday by Project Veritas. The election worker tells the non-citizen, quote, "I'll let you fill out completely a ballot now. Whether or not it's going to count, I don't know. Remember, we were allowing anyone to come in," the worker says, later adding, "Listen, we'll let you do it." That is to fill out the ballot. Troubling, troubling indeed, when the person clearly indicated that they weren't even registered. "Well, we'll let you fill out a ballot." But you can watch that video and that exchange there for yourself. The Council on American Islamic Relations welcomes a string of historic what they call barrier-breaking American Muslim election victories in Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Muslim wins occurred. I won't give all the names and specifics to it, but one was elected to the Boston City Council, Massachusetts, another to the Worcester City Council in Massachusetts. The first Lebanese-American Muslim elected mayor of Dearborn, Michigan. Another elected to the mayor of Amtrak, Michigan. Here is another one to the Duluth City Council in Minnesota. Another elected to the New Jersey State Legislature. Another to the Galloway Township Council, New Jersey. Another to the New York City Council, New York. Another to Lackawanna City Council, New York. Another to the Central Bucks School Board in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And yet another to the Easton City Council, also in Pennsylvania. Looking at FoxNews.com, Seattle's police union is lambasting the city's mayor for granting up to $25,000 hiring bonuses for police officers as part of a last-ditch effort to attempt to amend staffing shortages brought on by the Defund the Police movement and exasperated by the COVID-19 vaccine mandate before she leaves office next year. This is Mayor Jenny Durkin, who is not seeking a second term, issued an executive order last Friday creating an immediate incentive program for hiring of 911 dispatchers and police officers, citing a civil emergency as staffing shortages have worsened with the onset of the vaccine mandate. She is a Democrat and has been highly criticized for handling of the CHOP CHAZ, that six-block autonomous protest zone that included abandoned police precinct in the Capitol District. The mayor allowed the no-cop zone to persist for weeks in the summer of 2020 until there were several shootings, prompting city crews to eventually clear out makeshift barriers and tents from the space, and took positions and policies in opposition to the police, while now offering $25,000 hiring bonuses for police officers. Let's go to Newsmax.com. An experimental breathalyzer type test can detect COVID-19 within seconds, they report, and could be a non-invasive, faster alternative to nasal swab test, researchers report. COVID-19 infection produces a distinct breath print from the interaction of oxygen, nitric acid, and ammonia in the body, the investigator said, and an initial study of the breath test found that it accurately identified COVID-19 infections in almost 9 of 10 critically ill patients with the disease. The test can detect COVID-19 in exhaled breath within 15 seconds, according to the team that developed it. They've applied to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use authorization of the new technology. BizPak Review says that the Biden administration and Centers for Disease Control are now aggressively pushing the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccination for millions of elementary-age children across the U.S., the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, signed off on Tuesday for children between the ages of 5 and 11 to get the jab. Pediatricians' offices, pharmacies, hospitals, schools, and clinics began distributing shots immediately afterward. Walgreens set to commence the vaccination of young children on Saturday, according to the AP. Other pharmacies are set to follow suit. Together with science leading the charge, we have taken another important step forward in our nation's fight against COVID-19, Walensky said. The CDC unanimously voted to approve the vaccine for children, and the FDA authorized the emergency use of doses for children last week. We're going to have some more thoughts on this, the children's jab, after the break. This is Crosstalk. It's a News Roundup Friday here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we look at humanity, where do all the different skin colors come from?
Chris, of course, all our traits are controlled by our genes, and they've always been quite mysterious. Now, as the human genome has been decoded, the mystery of the origin of skin color has not been solved. We can't figure out what controls the genes. Evidently, there's something behind the genes that turns them on and off and controls how long they operate. Here at the Institute for Creation Research, we're researching this, and I predict that many of these plaguing problems will soon be solved. One thing for certain, it won't be solved by claiming the genes randomly mutated. They were created by an intelligent designer. The designer that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, the COVID shot now for children ages 5 to 11. Matter of fact, in San Francisco, we understand that children 5 to 11 will be required to comply with this shot mandate in order to enter places like restaurants or entertainment venues, according to a city's official there. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is recommending caution. In response to the new emergency use authorization, the American Physicians and Surgeons issued a statement that anyone who administers the shot must fully obtain fully informed, completely voluntary consent without threat or inducement. They note that the testing in children was limited. Only 1,518 children received the shot, 750 received a placebo. Follow-up was only 2 months in one group and 2.5 weeks in another group. You feel like this is being rushed, folks? The shots are claimed to be 91% effective against symptomatic COVID in children based on 16 cases of COVID in the placebo group and 3 cases in the vaccinated group. AAPS observes that this is an absolute risk reduction of only about 2%. The FDA recognizes a risk of myocarditis and is requiring, after marketing studies lasting 5 years in adults in its letter approving the BioNTech vaccine, that's the Comirnaty vaccine. AAPS says this: we do not and cannot know the long-term effects on cancer, fertility, or autoimmune diseases. However, committee member Dr. Eric Rubin stated, we're never going to learn about how safe this vaccine is until we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. End of quote. That is a committee member, not of AAPS. AAPS concludes that to give truly informed consent, parents need complete information about possible side effects, even if extremely rare. Dr. Ben Carson, remember him from the Trump administration? He contends that the Biden administration's move to vaccinate young children for COVID-19 amounts to, quote, a giant experiment. He argued that there's no sufficient data to determine the long-term risk posed by the shots. He said, do we want to put our children at risk when we know that the risk of the disease is to them relatively small, but we don't know what the future risks are? Why would we do a thing like that? It makes no sense whatsoever. He said this on Sunday. He was asked about whether or not young children should receive the COVID-19 vaccine. He said, absolutely not. The physician argued that the mortality rate for children from COVID-19 is 0.025, which is very similar to the rate for seasonal flu. He calls it a giant experiment on our children. Interesting story from Western Journal. Fears over the safety of Moderna's coronavirus vaccine means that its plan to market a vaccine for adolescents is now on hold. The company announced Sunday that the FDA had notified that its emergency use authorization request for vaccinating Americans in the 12 to 17 age range is on hold because the FDA has notified the company that it will require additional time to complete its assessment. The FDA has approved an emergency use authorization for a vaccine by Pfizer-BioNTech in those ages 12 to 15, but the Moderna placed on hold. From LifeSiteNews.com, interesting story here. An internist who looked at several COVID jabs under a microscope is sounding the alarm after her discovery of strange unidentified objects in the shots, including metallic fragments, graphene-like structures in each jab, and a tentacled moving organism-like creature in the Moderna jab. This is Dr. Carrie Madej, M-A-D-E-J, who said she has examined The magnified contents of the Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson shots found it very upsetting to see things in each jab that the manufacturers have not been forthright about. Madej noticed something quite strange. She said there was one particular object or organism, I'm not sure what to call it, but it had like tentacles coming from it. It was able to lift itself up off the glass slide. It appeared to be self-aware, to be able to grow or move in space. What I'm seeing in all of these manufacturers are synthetic substances, graphene-like, also these nanocarbon tubes. She said what looked like a translucent organism that went around and back and forth, thought it was another water parasite, but after continuing to observe its movements, thought perhaps it was moving in a more robotic way. She also saw the same kind of synthetic things in the Pfizer jab, as well as something that looks like similar to tesselaphoresis. That's where these little graphite-like black metallic particles start to coalesce into strings like a spider web. They do that through any external force. It could be light. It could be a magnetic force. It could be an impulse like a frequency. However, anyway, she said, all these little particles would then coalesce and form their own neural network or their own fibers or wires. It's a very involved story, but you'll find it at LifeSiteNews.com. She says it's like watching a horror thriller, moving tentacled object, metallic fragments found in the COVID jabs. LifeSite also carrying a story of 11 physicians who suffered serious injuries from their injections have now gone public, urging federal agencies and other doctors to recognize the risk that are posed by the experimental drugs conducted through investigations and to conduct those investigations and provide transparency to all those consider taking the shots. The harms they have been reporting are not redness at the injection site. The harms are all serious, wrote an attorney, Aaron Siri, in a letter on behalf of the physicians. To avoid future harms from the vaccine and to heal the doctors, patients, in some cases to heal themselves, research is critically needed to understand how the COVID-19 vax is causing these harms, he said. Serious effects reported by the physicians that occurred to themselves or to their patients included small fiber neuropathy, constant shakiness to muscles. Tinnitus, balance difficulties, fatigue, menstrual cycle irregularities, hair loss, persistent numbness and tingling in hand, cognitive impairment and weakness. I did hear testimony of one physician who was engaged in doing surgeries, but after getting a second jab, said, I can't do them anymore. He said, you can't trust me to do a surgery any longer due to the numbness that has set in for him. The vaccine reaction indicates in an effort to get the U.S. government to recognize the value of natural immunity in providing effective protections against COVID-19, U.S. Representative Diana Harshbarger of Tennessee has introduced the Natural Immunity is Real Act in the House of Representatives on October 18th. It's H.R. 5590, requiring U.S. federal agencies to take into account naturally acquired immunity from previous COVID infection when issuing any rules or regulations aimed at protecting from the disease. It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. LifeSiteNews.com. Thousands report developing abnormal tumors following the COVID shots. 63-year-old previously healthy Michigan man developed a 7-centimeter tumorous growth after receiving the Johnson & Johnson Janssen shot against COVID-19. Caused him to go into respiratory failure, life-threatening cardiogenic shock when his heart was unable to pump enough blood to his vital organs. A man had high fevers, respiratory failure, low blood flow, cardiomyopathy. This is out of Pontiac, Michigan, a disease of the heart muscle. A nearly 3-inch non-cancerous mass detected by ultrasound in his right adrenal gland that sits atop the kidney. Lots of issues. As a matter of fact, the story goes on to say that thousands of similar cases have been reported to VigiAccess. It's a World Health Organization database that collects these side effects. Over 3,700 cases of neoplasms or new tumors, which include breast, lung, brain cancers, plus numerous non-cancerous growths following the COVID infections. These reports offer no description of events, but the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System contains hundreds of more detailed reports describing appearances of brain tumors, breast cancer, mouth tumors, skin tumors, and colon cancer after the COVID shot.
The New American reporting that giving his patients the facts about COVID-19 vaccines so they could offer true informed consent ended up costing Dr. Bradley Meyer his job. But that didn't bother him. In fact, in an interview with Alex Newman, Dr. Meyer said that he would rather be in a FEMA camp than take the experimental COVID shot. Another concern from his employer was his willingness to prescribe ivermectin and other treatments, which he found to be very effective treating COVID. Now he's working to create a new healthcare center that will use advanced therapy and treatment options to help patients to be healthy. From WND.com, the Republic of Ireland has vaccinated 91% of its population for COVID-19, the highest rate in any of the European Union. But the nation now has the highest number of patients hospitalized for the disease since March. And the cases will increase until there is a transmission-blocking vaccine because the efficacy of the current shot is waning, said Dr. Ann Moore, a vaccine specialist at University College Cork, the Irish Times reported. The study tracking more than 600 people in the UK found immunity from full vaccination waned in as little as 3 months. The Irish Times reported Waterford City, with 99.7% of the adult population fully vaccinated, has the highest rate of COVID-19 infection in Ireland. And you heard the news this week that just coming from the White House as well, that the fully vaccinated White House press secretary Jen Psaki revealed she had tested positive for COVID on Sunday. As doctors said, it's unlikely, though, that President Biden had been infected with it. New American reporting that the Biden administration moving forward with likely its most controversial COVID policy yet, a vaccine and COVID test mandate for private sector companies with more than 100 employees. OSHA has advanced the rule under a temporary emergency provision that would apply to all private American businesses employing more than 100 workers, impacting approximately 80 million Americans. January 4th deadline has been set, and we understand that for many, the deadline was moved from December to January because otherwise there'd be a lot of people without work come Christmas time. Unvaccinated workers would be required to undergo regular testing. Bloomberg reported the rule would permit employees to force workers who oppose or rather refuse the vaccine to pay for weekly tests as well as to pay for masks. We understand this will affect some more than 17 million workers at 76,000 healthcare facilities nationwide alone. Some will not be able to have any exemptions to this, we understand. And that is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that will require their healthcare workers and facilities participating to be fully vaccinated. And that's coming again from, let me get that source, that's newamerican.com, and from Newsmax, Republican senators are moving to formally strike down this vaccine mandate on private businesses. A total of 41 GOP senators have joined to try and terminate the mandate under the Congressional Review Act that defines the official process by which lawmakers can eliminate an executive branch rule. There is a sheriff in Los Angeles County. His name is Alex Villanueva, who has warned of an imminent threat to public safety. He said there could be a mass exodus of thousands of deputies and civilian personnel from his department who refused to get the shot, estimating that as much as 44% of the workforce could be gone in a single day. From KOLD.com, out of the Tucson area, a 4-1 vote on Tuesday, November 2nd, the Pima County Board of Supervisors approved a vaccine mandate for employees who work with vulnerable people. They will have until January 1st to get fully vaccinated, and if not, will receive disciplinary action up to and including termination. I've got a few more stories I'd like to share after the break, so stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their one-week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church. He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Lots of news, lots of stories coming out, and certainly a lot of election coverage. Also dealing a lot with what's going on with the reaction to COVID and the shot mandates coming down. LifeSite has done just a tremendous amount of reporting and researching on this whole area of the pandemic and the shot mandates and so forth, and have a pretty troubling story that came out on November 3rd. About the real pandemic has just begun, and it's COVID shot-induced heart attacks in the young, the report. A particularly horrifying Instagram post a few days ago showed our new global reality. It's a video taken on a crowded street somewhere in Israel where a young person, early 20s, looks like, has collapsed. Eyes are closed, her head is listing back to one side and looks completely unresponsive, and she's wheeled by paramedics through the bustling foot traffic. Off camera, you can hear a man in the crowd shouting, "This is Pfizer, this is Pfizer, this is Pfizer." Welcome to the new normal. If you think this is an overstatement, take a look at sampling of dozens of stories that have made headlines recently. I'm just going to read you the headlines. Don't have time to go into all the stories. 12-year-old Scots girl dies suddenly of brain bleed. Here, San Diego 8th grader collapses in gym class, dies of heart condition. Here is one healthy and active 14-year-old Gold Coast girl suffers heart attack on the soccer field. 18-year-old Italian girl dies after COVID vaccine. Brain surgeon says he's never seen such extensive and severe blood clots. Here's another one. 21-year-old college student hospitalized with myocarditis from COVID jab. Interesting headlines coming from around the world. From the Daily Mail. Online, Australian Queenslanders who receive fines for breaking COVID-19 rules, now they risk having their homes seized, their bank accounts frozen in a government crackdown to collect some $5.2 million in repayments. The State Penalties Enforcement Register expected to collect some 3,046 unpaid fines from the pandemic on behalf of Queensland Health. More than 2,700 fines from individuals and businesses accused of breaking the COVID-19 restrictions. The State Penalties Enforcement Register said enforcement for people who failed to pay their fines might include garnishing bank accounts or wages, registering charges over property, or suspending driver's license. That's according to the Brisbane Times. Fox Business reporting that more than 30,000 visitors to the Shanghai Disneyland theme park were kept within the park's gates last Sunday, forced to undergo COVID-19 testing after a customer tested positive for the virus, a move that underscores China's eradication efforts. A person tested positive. They detained some 30,000 visitors to Shanghai Disneyland theme park so that they could all undergo testing. Epic Times telling us that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has signed into law a bill that aims to protect workers who lose their job for rejecting the COVID-19 shot. The bill, House File, 902, on October 28th, cleared both chambers of the Iowa legislature in a one-day special session. It states that any business that has a COVID-19 vaccine mandate must waive the requirement for employees who request for medical or religious exemptions. In addition, if an employee is fired for refusing to get the vaccine, the business must make sure the employee is eligible for unemployment benefits. The bill included an immediate enactment provision and took effect on October 29th. When Governor Reynolds signed it into law. WND.com with Mayor Bill de Blasio refusing to budge on his COVID vaccine mandate. New York City firefighters stayed home in droves last Saturday amid tensions over a mandate that would impact about a quarter of the department. 26 firehouses were out of service Saturday due to personnel shortages. Make that personnel shortages linked to the vaccine mandate, according to the New York Post. From Breitbart, interesting story here about roughly 12,000 New York City workers have asked for an exemption from Mayor Bill de Blasio's COVID vaccine mandate, but the Democrat mayor warned on Monday of this week it is likely that many will not be approved. New York Post tells us a Pennsylvania school district has amended its dress code after complaints from a satanic group founder who blasted it as discriminatory. You see, the school district folks had a code that banned the wearing of satanic clothing at the school, and district officials have now removed that prohibition on clothing in the Pennsylvania school district. WND.com, AT&T teaching white employees that you are the problem. AT&T Corporation has a new racial reeducation program, they report, that contends racism is a uniquely white trait and promotes left-wing causes such as reparations, defunding police, and trans activism. Christopher Rufo obtained internal documents about AT&T's initiative called Listen, Understand, Act, and based on the core principles of CRT included intersectionality, systemic racism, white privilege, and white fragility, writes Rufo. According to a senior employee, the managers are required to participate in programs such as discussion groups, book clubs, mentorship programs, and race re-education exercises. White employees, the source said, must confess their complicity in white privilege and systemic racism or be penalized in performance reviews. Employees are asked to sign a loyalty pledge to keep pushing for change, including reading more about systemic racism and challenging others' language that is hateful. If you don't do it, the senior employee said, you're considered a racist. President's been on kind of a world jaunt here, and social media erupted this past Monday, reports Fox News, that when a viral video appeared to show President Biden dozing off during opening speeches at the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference. You watch the video. It's rather stunning. But Biden, who, and keep in mind, he has warned military service members this past summer that the top Pentagon officials considered climate change to be the greatest threat to America's national security in the coming years. But he sits with his arms crossed, appearing to drift in and out of sleep. A video shared by the Washington Post. Here's the greatest threat facing us, and the president's dozing off. After his talk, he opened the floor to questions, but admitted he was told to start with the Associated Press. He said, and now I'm happy to take some questions, and I'm told I should start with the AP Zeke Miller, Biden said. By the way, President Biden dealing with this issue of climate change, so-called, at the UN Climate Change Conference, says that Americans have seen the Lord and now believe in climate change. I want you to hear what he had to say.
And I guess I shouldn't apologize, but I do apologize for the fact the United States in the last administration pulled out of the Paris Accords and put us sort of behind the eight ball a little bit. The American people 4 or 5 years ago weren't at all sure about climate change, whether it was real. Well, they have, as they say in southern parts of my state, seen the Lord. They've seen what's happened back home, the incredible changes that are taking place. And they're now finally realizing the sense of urgency that y'all are. Those of us who have taken actions a long time ago that caused the problems we have. We have to be ready to step up for everyone from Tanzania to Fiji to make sure that they have the wherewithal. And we have, that's the next, I have to acknowledge to you, that's the next big case that I'm going to have to make at home. They now know there is a climate change and they're ready to step up. But we got to make sure they know that the United States has an obligation to also step up at financing other countries that have not had the opportunity to do as much damage as we have and have an opportunity to get much better. So anyway, thank you very much. And thank you for having me, old buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You know, calling the Prime Minister of Britain here, old buddy. Biden here said that Americans have seen the Lord and they now believe in climate change, and talked about our need to help finance other countries here as part of the, well, your tax dollars. Not only that, but Newsmax is reporting that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen Saturday praised President Biden and other heads of state at the G20 conference in Rome for formally adopting a 15% global corporate minimum tax rate that's estimated to bring in $150 billion a year globally. Interesting. Here's a story that came from the Daily Wire. An illegal alien from Honduras who reportedly entered the U.S. earlier this year, pretending to be an unaccompanied minor, went on to brutally murder a man in Florida who had taken him in, according to law enforcement. Let's open some phone lines here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you're in Texas, well, Texas passed an amendment to their state constitution barring future church closings. The Texas voters passed this amendment to the state constitution Tuesday, prevents any state or local government from closing churches under any circumstances. The Justice Department is now suing Texas over new voting restrictions that the federal government says will disenfranchise eligible voters and violate federal voting rights laws. So, Texas, the U.S. Justice Department coming after you. If you're in Ohio, this will be of interest to you. The Ohio Republicans have introduced legislation to effectively ban all abortions. The Ohio bill would ban abortion at any stage of pregnancy and employ a similar enforcement mechanism as the one used under the Texas Heartbeat Act. The Supreme Court hears challenges to the Heartbeat Act right now for Texas. But on Tuesday, GOP lawmakers in Ohio introduced House Bill 480 in Ohio that defines an unborn child as an individual human being from fertilization until live birth. The legislation would prohibit abortion by making it a crime for any person in the state to administer, procure, or sell any instrument, medicine, drug, or any other substance, device, or means with the purpose to terminate the pregnancy of a woman with the knowledge that the termination by any of those means will, with reasonable likelihood, cause the death of the unborn child. Notwithstanding any other provision of law to the contrary, no person shall purposely perform or attempt to perform an abortion, the bill states. Go get them, Ohio. That is House Bill 480 in Ohio that has been introduced. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Bruce calling in from Wisconsin. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. It's really tough to try to encompass everything going on, but I've tried for 3 weeks, and I think something I'd like to make a challenge to all the listeners out there, the people who seem to be so comfortable with life, that it is, some of these things don't seem to be personally affecting them. It's happening. And what I would like to challenge those people to is maybe just once a month, maybe just once a week, give up that Friday night fish fry or their so important date night or whatever they want to call it, and give to the people on the front lines like Liberty Council. And it may not seem like a lot of money, but there's a lot of us. And there's a lot of us, when we give a little bit even, can do a lot of good. These Matt and his team are incredible. And they're one of the only things, besides, of course, praying to our Lord Jesus, that this nation turns from its wicked ways.
Yeah.
But that is something we can personally do, something small. I guess I'm just trying to say, I don't know how else we can make it more real. I'm listening to your show again, as I do every single day, and I just pray it continues. I just pray that especially the church wakes up. And I thank you so kindly for your time.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate your call. Indeed, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Friends, our land needs healing, doesn't it? We need to turn, certainly, back to God once again. And starts with us as individuals, starts with the church. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Do you know what the real rate of inflation is? Well, the government says it's 4.5%. That's a lie. The real rate of inflation, provable, documented, with traditional accounting that the government used to use from the 1980s, puts inflation at 11%. Do you know that this inflation is created because our federal government is breaking the law and the U.S. Constitution and printing money through the Federal Reserve, which was created to try to stop bank failures and financial crisis, but it's only created financial crisis. And inflation is a hidden tax. Now the government is proposing taxing you on perceived increase in value of your house or your stocks. But what they're not taking into account is the reason your stock and house is going up is because of the hidden tax of inflation that's debasing your dollars and thus taking more dollars to buy that house or stock. The government, again, is cheating and stealing from you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, one of our Crosstalk affiliates, VCY affiliates in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and some new direction up there. This rural Wisconsin school district has instructed teachers to forego informing parents of their child's decision to identify as the opposite sex while in school. The folks, the parents, that violates your constitutionally protected rights. They have determined and instructed their teachers in the Oshkosh School District, serves some about 10,000 students, issued a letter to its staff informing of a change in its non-discrimination guidelines related to students who are transgender and students who are non-conforming to gender role stereotypes. Not going to inform the parents. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Tina is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. From what I understand, COVID-19 is a virus, not a disease, unless I'm wrong. And one other thing, I haven't heard of any children dying of COVID. I have heard of children dying from the vaccine.
Thank you. And there are those deaths. It is a very minuscule amount. Matter of fact, they said it's very, very common. The article that I read here from the American Physicians and Surgeons, very similar to the deaths that happened from the flu.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tina. Bob in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Well, I'm in agreement with Mr. Biden for finally on one issue. Climate change is happening. We're getting hot under the collar about all the foolishness he's imposing on us, and that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
It is time to pray, and then it's time to get acting.
Thank you, Bob. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
All right, Brother Jim. Just wanted to comment on the experimental drug jab again. You cannot condense 10 years of testing into less than a year.
Yeah.
Obviously, we cannot take the FDA seriously throwing these okays around like that. And when some of these people go to take the lethal injection, some of them get placebos. Why? Well, there's two answers. One, the testing is ongoing because the drugs are experimental. And two, some people get placebos because it reduces the rate of injuries from the experiment. And that means that you are nothing but a guinea pig to Big Pharma and their illegitimate federal government. God gave us an immune system. Let it do its job.
You know, Brad, what's interesting is, according to the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, there are only 1,518 kids that receive the shots. 1,518 kids, and we don't know the long-term impact of this. There's not been enough time to follow them. Follow-up was only for 2 months in one group, 2.5 weeks in another group. There was half of that amount had received a placebo. And just in weeks, we're making these decisions to give the shot to millions and millions of kids across this nation.
I thought it was bad enough that people got the shot themselves. Now they're letting their little kids get it, ages as early as 5 years old.
Yep.
It must be out of your minds.
Brad, thank you for your thoughts here. Let's go to John in Berrigan, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. It should be pointed out that Mr. Climate Change, our president supposedly, had an 85-car motorcade. I don't know if you mentioned that, Jim, or
no,
not.
No, I didn't, but that's a great point.
Yeah, plus all the jets and all the planes.
Yes. From all over the world. I mean, these private jets that are flying in for this conference on global climate change and whoa, you know, to all the carbon emissions that is being produced by this world. And why don't they hold this virtually?
Well, You're talking to stupid people. You can't you can't deal with stupid people. Yeah. You just can't.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the news too that they were saying that you couldn't, you shouldn't do something with the pumpkins because they released methane gas, gas or something into the methane gas into the atmosphere, and it's like, yeah. Well, AOC said we only have till 2030. So,
yep. Thank you.
Be well, sir.
Lord willing, Lord willing, right after this COP 26 conference, Alex Newman is scheduled to be with us here on Crosstalk, and we'll be delving full force into that issue. Let's go to Birmingham, England. Robert, good to hear from you. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening from here. Good afternoon to you in the USA. As well as the COP26 fiasco that's going on, the British news is quite full of something in Parliament, the hounding of a very honourable MP by the name of Owen Paterson, who has recently resigned his seat. And he was accused of breaching the rules regarding paid lobbying, but what he actually did was expose illegal substances in food and breaches of food standards, safety standards. But the Commissioner for Parliamentary Standards went after him, refused to take information from witnesses that supported Owen Paterson's side of the story. And during all the 2 years that this has been dragging on, his wife committed suicide.
My.
And so you've got issues in the USA with conservatives being hounded.
Yeah.
And we've got similar things happening here in Britain.
My.
Very sad case.
It is indeed. And thank you, Robert, for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Jim.
It's easy for us here to keep our eyes, you know, focused locally. And by the way, can I remind you that this Sunday is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, to be praying for brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering on account of their faith, some separated from families, some in prisons, some who have lost their livelihood, some who have been physically maimed as a result. Remember to be in prayer for the persecuted church. One last call here from Tomah, Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I was reviewing Section 78 of Nuremberg Code, and it qualifies as a crime against humanity, the inducement, compulsion, or causing of people to take without informed consent any medical preparation or vaccine. And I think that would include all of the COVID shots and inducement. Well, there have been lots of inducements. There's lots of coercion. And there is no information on the consent. And a minor child cannot give consent. The parents would be the ones that would have to give consent, and they would have to be informed. Nobody's informing them.
Yeah. Thank you for that call. The Nuremberg Code is something that Matt Staver has raised many times here on this Crosstalk program. And keep in mind, there are some school districts and areas that do not require parental consent in order to give a minor child a jab. Okay? Well, our time is gone. I didn't say all. There are some states and locations that allow for that to take place. Our time is gone here today on Crosstalk. Remember, this Sunday, day of prayer for the persecuted church, and trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.